Dus gaat er zeggen dat je bij gezegd schaam, wanneer je hoedem zegt dat ze dorm daar viert ges. Vraagt de Gemara, Ramnuna eerst. Abraisa says, the pasuk of Nazir Lahazir teaches that one Nazir can take effect upon another Nazir. We would think that since a Shua, which is more stringent, can't take effect upon another Shua, then surely Nazir can't take effect upon another Nazir. The pasuk therefore teaches Nazir Lahazir that it does. Now, the Abraisa can't be referring to where he said, I'm hereby Nazir today, and then says, I am hereby Nazir tomorrow, because we don't need a pasuk to teach that the second Nazir takes effect in that case, since it goes a day longer than the first. The case must be where he says, I am hereby Nazir today, and then it repeats and says, I am hereby Nazir today. And you see it's chal. This again refutes Rav Huna. Mar said the Braisa can be referring to where he accepted both Naziris simultaneously. In fact, Mar, so what's the chumra of Shua over Neder? It can't be based on that a Shua can take effect on a matter with no substance, because a Neder also has a chumra that it takes effect even when it prevents someone from doing a mitzvah. So what is it? Why would we say that if it doesn't, that if Shua can't take effect on another Shua, then surely Naziris can't take effect, as if Shua is more chumradik, but you see that Naziris has his own chumra. So why are we assuming that Shua is more chumradik? Everything more, the chumra is that the pasuk regarding Shua says lo yinakeh, which teaches that a person is not forgiven when he makes a Shua in vain. The Mishnah had said, if the person says shua shulay oichal ve'ochal einoy chayiv ela achas. Rava said, if the person has the first shua annulled, the second shua takes effect at that time. We see from this Mishnah, which says he's chayiv only for one, which suggests that the other shua is hanging there and it falls into place when the first one is annulled. Another version said that the Mishnah seems to say there is no chiyuv for the second shua, but that it does exist. This follows Rava, who says that if the first shua is annulled, the second one falls into effect. We can bring another proof to this from a braisa. The braisa says, someone accepted upon himself two naziris. He observed the first one, separated animals for the kabbanis to be brought at the completion of the first naziris period. And then he had the first one annulled. The second naziris has been fulfilled with the previous observance. We see that the second neder falls into place upon annulment of the first one. The Mara says it's not a proof. It could be the braisa discussing where the two naziris were accepted upon himself simultaneously. Zakt the Mishnah, a stam neder, meaning it's unclear what's meant by the neder, we go l'churma, if to treat it stringently. The explanation given to a neder by the one who made the neder is accepted even if it creates a leniency. The Mishnah gives examples. Number one, if someone says, this is to me like salty meat, or this is to me like yayin nesech. So if he was referring to meat and wine of a shlomim, he has created a neder. If he was referring to meat and wine of a avodah zarah, no neder is created. If he says it's stam, so we go l'chumra. If he says this is to me like a cherim, if he was referring to cherim of hegdish, he has created a neder. If he was referring to cherim of kehanim, there's no neder. If it's stam, again, we go l'chumra. If he says this is to me like meiser, if he's referring to animal meiser, he has created a neder. If he's referring to meiser of produce, no neder is created. If he says it's stam without explaining, so we go l'chumra. If he says this is to me like truma, so if he was referring to truma's halishka, which is money of hegdish, he has created a neder. If he was referring to truma of produce, no neder is created. If he says it's stam, we go l'chumra. This is the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says that stam truma in Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, would be usher as a neder, because they refer to always when they say truma, they refer to truma's halishka. And in the Galil, it would be mutter, because they're not familiar with truma's halishka. With regard to stam cheirim, Zok the Mishnah, in Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, no neder would be created if he says cheirim, but in the Galil, a neder is created, because in the Galil, they were not familiar with the cheirim of Kehanim, and therefore clearly they meant cheirim in a way of hegdish, which was a neder. Frech the Gemara, a Mishnah says that we are lenient with a suffix naziris. So how could our Mishnah say we go l'chumra by a stam neder? So Rav Zeir said that Mishnah follows Rabbi Lazar, and our Mishnah follows Rabbanon of the following braisa. The braisa says if a person said he's giving all his behemoths and all his chayas to hegdish, so he has to give a kvi, which is an animal, which is a suffix, whether it's behemoth or chay, he has to give his kvi to hegdish as well. Rabbi Lazar says he doesn't have to give his kvi to hegdish. So based on this, we can say that the Rabbanon, meaning the Tanna Kamma, hold that just as a person means to subject his money to a promise, even in a case of suffix, he does the same when he promises about his own body, meaning a nazir, and therefore naziris and other nadarim take effect even when there are done bistam and there's a suffix. Rabbi Lazar holds that just as one doesn't subject his money to a promise in a situation of suffix, he will also not subject his body to a promise in a situation of suffix, and maybe that's machlokes. With that machlokes, we can understand that Rabbi Zeir says that our Mishnah follows the early Mishnah we quoted follows Rabbi Lazar, whereas our Mishnah follows the Rabbanan.